You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's May 29th, 2025, and welcome to episode 135 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek, delivered to you in just 15 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning into the show today. I'm glad you're here. On this episode, I'm going to be talking about Clair Obscur Expedition 33. But as always, I'm going to start the week off by checking out some of the gaming news of the past week. And we are just one measly week away from the launch of the highly anticipated Nintendo Switch 2. But that hasn't stopped some shady individuals from getting their hands on it early. At the time of this recording, I've heard at least two stories of two individuals having somehow got the console. One of them shared proof with Wario64, who you know from, he's the deal guy on the socials, who confirmed the source was real, and a YouTuber posted an unboxing video of their early console. Sadly, though, for them, at least, both consoles were unplayable due to not having the day one system update, which will apparently be required to use the device. I think, you know, we were aware that there was going to be a day one update for this thing, but this information confirms that users will need to connect their Switch 2 to the internet before they're able to use it. I almost wonder if this update was specifically designed to prevent people from posting, you know, videos of the console or games from the inevitable, you know, leaked hardware, making it kind of a day one key to unlock the console. So if you're planning on, you know, trying to sneak one out the back door of a Best Buy, don't bother. You're going to have to wait like everybody else to play. But that won't be that long. Switch 2 launches next Thursday, June the 5th. So when I plan on playing a new video game, and especially when I know that I'll be discussing it on an upcoming episode, I don't read any of the reviews that come out, both because, you know, I like to know as little as possible usually about a game beforehand, but also because I like to try and form my own opinion on a game without the outside influence of other people's opinions on it. That being said, it's much, much harder to block out any and all conversation around a game, especially if you spend a significant amount of time on social media. And there have been plenty of conversations and opinions online about Clair Obscur Expedition 33. The hype I've seen around this game has been substantial. I've seen comments ranging from it being, you know, people's game of the year, to some people saying it's their favorite game of all time, to people that were going around saying that it saved turn-based role-playing games, which is a genre I was unaware was in need of saving. But here you go. And the hype surrounding a game can be a double-edged sword. It can get you really excited and pumped to play a game, which is fun, but it can also set expectations for that game, whether you really want them to or not, that can be difficult, if not impossible, to meet. And I think that's maybe what happened to me, because after about 8 or so hours with this game, I think it's fine. There are certainly elements of the game which I think really excel. The premise and the main plot of the game, I think, are fantastic. It takes place in this alternate reality France, where a being called the Paintress appears once a year and etches a number into this monument, at which point every person on the planet who is that age dies, or, you know, more specifically disappears, you know, Thanos style. So the remaining survivors keep sending out expeditions to try and find and kill the Paintress. The prologue and the tone that they set in the beginning is great. There's this melancholy sense of everyone just kind of accepting that this is their fate, that this is inevitable, to quote Thanos again. And the expeditions are almost more about keeping a tiny flame of hope alive for the people, as opposed to any thought that they might actually be able to stop her. And by and large, I think the presentation is quite good. The music is a highlight. I think that that rookie game composer, you know, that there's been a lot of talk about being found on SoundCloud, Laureen Testard, probably said that wrong. I think they've got a bright future in this industry. And the visuals are impressive as well. Although again, the conversation around the graphics, you know, people saying things like, how could a game possibly look this great, you know, are a bit overblown. It looks real good, but it's not like mind-blowing, and it's not even the most impressive game I've seen this year. So again, the game looks really nice, and it's maybe not fair for me to feel, you know, a little disappointed on the fact that, you know, based on the fact that people on Blue Sky were overselling it. But, you know, that's what happens, and it is what it is. The thing I really kind of beat my head against, though, with this game was the gameplay itself. First of all, there's no map. I can't remember the last time I played a game like this, a big role-playing game, that didn't have a map. And that might not seem like a big deal for some people, but I have a notoriously horrible sense of direction. Really bad. I could be driving to someplace that I've been to 20 times, and I'm absolutely still putting the directions on my phone because I will get lost. And Christina is constantly acting as my, you know, personal Siri, sitting next to me while I'm playing games, going, you know, nope, turn left. No, you already went that way. Turn around. I'm hopeless. There's almost nothing more annoying in a video game than feeling like my time is being wasted. And when I'm lost in a dungeon for like 20, 30 minutes because everything looks the same to me, I'm wasting my time. The mechanics and systems were also, you know, more complicated than I like in an RPG. You know, there's a lot to figure out and learn. Each character's combat is a little bit different from one another. You know, one has different stances that you can change throughout, you know, offensive or defensive. And another character has a meter that will charge up with attacks and parries that lets you use like a really powerful attack. And weapons all have, you know, different elemental buffs to figure out, and you can upgrade all these weapons. There are attribute points to spend, Pictos to equip, which grant you special abilities, Luminas, which are like spells, and they can be tied to the Pictos, but if you win 4 battles with a Pictos, you learn that Luminos, and then you don't have to have it equipped. I don't think anything here is done poorly. I really don't. My brain just finds it difficult to follow along. Balancing and maintaining a whole bunch of different systems just isn't what I find fun in a role-playing game. One other thing, and I swear I'm not trying to dogpile on this game or make it sound worse than it is, but there's something off about the performances. It's kind of weird. I think the actual quality of the voice acting is solid. There are good actors here, but it's all delivered in the same monotone, unemotional way. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a really emotional, like, heartbreaking moment, or if they're being attacked by horrific monsters and people are dying all around them, or just sitting at camp. It's all the same droll, sleep-inducing delivery. It's weird. Maybe it's a French thing. I kind of threw in the towel last weekend, you know, when I realized that I was still playing more because I felt like I was supposed to be enjoying this game as opposed to how much fun I was actually having. I really do think it has a cool and unique story to tell, and I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this. Obviously, they are. But there are way too many games that I'm excited to play to spend more time with one that I'm trying to convince myself that I like. Lastly, this week, I want to send out some positive vibes to the developers out of Seattle, Washington, Cliffhanger Studios. Yesterday, their parent company, EA, announced that they were not only canceling the company's upcoming Black Panther video game, but that they were closing down the studio completely, studio that had only opened their doors a short couple of years ago. It's not clear yet how many jobs are affected by the closure. EA says that they will attempt to find positions in other areas for those that are affected. It's kind of wild that a big publisher like EA can't make it work with a studio that is built from the ground up to develop this game based on a hugely popular IP like Black Panther. For the game to never see the light of day, you've just got to assume that it was poor management, you know, really, that led to all of that work being for nothing. Hopefully everyone affected can find work either, you know, within the company if they choose to stay, or someplace else. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I really appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, be well and happy gaming.